笑も涙もきっとすべて君に出会うためだった
Hello everyone, welcome back to Captain Earth. This is episode 11, Through the Window of Setsuna, and this time I have J-Ro with me.
I wish I was that squirrel.
Yeah, and we have Skyline.
I wish I was that squirrel too.
I think we all do. Depends on what squirrel we're talking about, but...
but why not yeah. both?
Yeah, both's good, yeah. And this episode's kind of a half flashback, half kind of, I guess, story progression episode. Starting off with a flashback 10 years ago with Dr. Mal, I guess, doing an experiment with Setsuna, like a younger version, and they're getting the Oregon energy through the same process Hana uses, through singing. And it, I guess, shows you that Dr. Mal has been kind of with these designer children for quite a while, or at least knows about, you know, their abilities and things like that. What did you guys think of that beginning scene? Was it interesting? Not really.
I thought it was pretty cool. It's nice to know that they're, you know, kind of establishing that this Orgon energy has, you know, some very specified sources that, you know, you get it from. And the fact of singing, I mean, heck, getting power sources from singing goes way back in anime, all the way back to, like, the original Macross about how, you know, all that compelling sort of power. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that it's an energy source.
Captain Earth is now an idol anime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If they can get, what's her name, I to start singing again. I wonder how much energy they can produce. I mean, they can actually really, really explore that route with a way to gather energy with her going to concerts and stuff.
But, you know, didn't Symphogear show that this whole singing while fighting thing is not necessarily the best?
No, not yeah, it's not really. But, you know, like you said, old school Macross, and they've done it, and it just, yeah, it works. And I think it gives a chance to the voice actor to sing, almost.
Oh, yep.
Basically to sell a character album.
Yeah, pretty much. And even more, I guess, you know, backstory, we get Rita, she kind of steps away from the train for a bit and goes to investigate more about the designer children. And she, I guess she finds a bar, which is owned by an ex-cop, I guess. And he was talking about, I guess, how his group was investigating, you know, Macbeth, and they had the rumor about these six children that were genetically manipulated for, you know, illegal purposes. Mm-hmm. And you get this giant scandal with Macbeth and Kyubey's dad. And it's interesting stuff, the backstory of all these characters finally coming out.
Yeah, and I like how the backstory was presented through the thoughts of this investigator that Rita visited. And it was interesting to learn all the backstory. And I think it's the first interesting point that we've seen about Kyubey in general, because I never really knew what to take away from the scenes with Kyubey and Puck talking and seeing this flashback with this story is pretty interesting.
Right, and Rita goes in more and asks him about, you know, why you're fired, and he's basically, I think, on the lines of, like, I feel like he investigated too deep, and, you know, they kind of cut him off, like, you know, mm-hmm. you know too much, you're kind of a, you know.
I'm surprised they let him live.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they could have easily killed him. And even with, you know, with Kyubey, I guess his uncle or his dad, I guess apparently he committed suicide, but before that, he called, I guess, Kyubey and told him he's being set up. Hmm. And Kyubey kind of, like, questions that. He's like, well, who set you up? And I think he actually asked Puck the question, like, you know, are you really telling me everything you know? And I think Puck kind of pushed, you know, the other guy to kill himself, because... Mm-hmm. But the way they spin it with the cop, he's saying that an investigation got so deep and it just put pressure on him and he killed himself because of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think either the investigator or Puck are telling the complete story to anyone at this point.
Right. I mean,
gotta be more to it than that.
Yeah, Puck always says he doesn't lie, but yeah, he's lying. I mean, he's lying about the...
Well, I mean, for crying out loud, it's... They were showing that he could have... you know, given a whole lot of compulsion for the guy to commit suicide in the first place. So, you know, there goes your robot lol straight out the window with this AI.
Right. And I've had talks to my friends before, but we all feel that Puck's not really an AI at all, because he's probably one of the designer children. just, you know, posing as a machine to push certain things along.
Yeah,
that
they were talking about.
Really? That's out of left field.
Yeah, because in one episode they talked about how the planetary people are, their souls are basically digitized, so it's digital information. So they could easily probably put that into like a machine just to have it as a like a puppet for now.
And then they were talking about numbers 3 through 8, meaning who's 1 and 2.
Right, yeah. We still got a couple more left. And with all that time travel backstory shit out of the way, we get to the pool stuff, which I think is the most important part, right, Skyline?
Oh, most certainly agreed. But talk about a fumble. Talk about a huge fumble. A one piece. A one piece.
Oh, yeah.
For Akari. And she was sitting down the entire time. I guess they're building up anticipation.
Right, and we still
got something along that line. Maybe a proper beach or onsen episode is upcoming.
I could see a hot spring, yeah.
For a girl whose special ability is belly button forte, it was really disappointing not to see the midriff.
Right. And you got Hana over there just like, just sitting there just relaxing, not realizing that, you know, there are, you know, tons of guys just staring at you because of obvious reasons. And she's just like, what are we doing here? Like, doesn't realize what's going on. But yeah, it is Akari, like you said, disappointing like that, but I don't know, maybe they just want to show that she's not exactly, you know, that excited to be there. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. It was, she was kind of saying like, you know, you don't really go to the pool to swim. You just kind of hang out. And
right,
in Hana's
yeah, yeah.
case, have dudes stare at them and look at pits climbing those mountains.
Oh, yeah, because she does make the comment that I don't know why I brought her along. I was like, wow, that's so mean.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Lucky pits.
Yeah, he's just jumping around like crazy. But, you know, while that's going on, I mean, the girls meet Setsuna, and it's kind of funny. They're just having that casual conversation with her and give her a drink and everything, just kind of hanging out with her. Thought it was kind of weird, but I guess she doesn't really get off that vibe. But the squirrel thing, you would think automatically, okay, alien, hello. Mm-hmm. It's the same pet as Hana.
It's a squirrel that's not brown.
It's pink, exactly. It's like, obvious, come on, wake up. But I think that's the anime characters in general.
Maybe something's up in this particular world that's just, you know, how squirrels naturally appear. I mean, they can sense organ energy. They're a variety of colors. And that's it. They're easily domesticated, too, because squirrels, not very easily domesticated, I can tell you that much.
Right, really. Yeah. I mean, it's like...
They will turn on you and bite you like no tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was like, you know, Pokemon, basically. Like, if Pokemon were real in the real world, it's like, people would obviously notice that, but... But with the squirrel, I mean, come on. It's bright freaking pink.
Weird conversation.
Biological weapons in the hands of children. My goodness. Don't you just love anime?
But yeah, I think it's with anime characters in general. It's like, for me as a Magical Girl fan, it's like, you know, you see the characters with the bright colored hair. You automatically know who they are. So it's like, oh, that's the red one. This is the pink one, all that. And anime characters don't really look at the hair color. That's one thing I've noticed with anime they don't do. So I guess I'll give him that benefit for the squirrels.
That should be Urobachi's next big Magical Girl deconstruction. You know, all the bad guys know who they are by the color of their hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But with that, we have Daichi and Tepe kind of playing secret agent as they fight Mocha and Amrock because they're trying to get Setsuna because they need more to add to their collection of gears. So that was kind of interesting, just seeing these two kind of fight. But they're also kind of shocked that Tepe has this, you know, live luster. Like, the hell? How'd he get one of those? And like, you didn't see it last time.
Yeah, that was a nice looking animation for the shield that he used with his live luster to block Tepe or Daichi.
Yeah, he seems to be more of a defensive type planetary gear with his abilities, even with the rainbow shield he can put up. So it's kind of interesting seeing that with him.
So and with that in mind, I wonder when Akari and Hana are going to meet the lowly with the recorder.
Yeah, I'm wondering that too, because I mean they wear flight suits as well. So I'm like, eventually they got the pilot. I mean, Akari probably won't be in the robot physically, but she can do remote control. You know, she's shown that before episode what, 2 or 1?
Yeah, 2.
Yeah, and yeah, I guess they just want to catch Setsuna because you know they need her for their goals. And the other question comes up, you know, we get a flashback of those two as little children. It's like, who gave them their memories if you know, they're the ones giving everyone else's memories back. I'm wondering, I don't know who they even showed it this week or not.
Well, if you're right in your theory about Puck actually being a planetary gear, he seems to be guiding things fairly well. So, you know, he wasn't at all surprised to see those two come in and visit him.
Yeah, because we only get like a shadow of some guy wearing glasses. That could very well be Puck right there, who, you know, woke him up. Because they just said something about going to Japan, that's where they are now. It would make sense if they did a timeline. But with that, we get, you know, Dr. Mal again. We find out her true intentions for Setsuna. And I guess she discovers that she thinks that the Desiring Children are made for, you know, to implant our minds into their bodies, like use them as like a vessel. And, you know, she kisses Setsuna, and Setsuna figures all this out and just kind of escapes, you know, a little bit freaked out that someone she's trusted for, you know, 10 years plus would do something like this with her. And it's just kind of a freaky moment for her. She runs away. I thought it was kind of crazy. It's like, you know, Valvrave did the body switch thing, which it worked because it makes you eventually immortal. Just like, I mean, they did it in Fullmetal Alchemist, the original one. Mm-hmm. So body jumping is nothing really new in anime, but it was kind of surprising to see it in Captain Earth.
Yeah, and Dr. Wasn't expecting Mal it. Looks at it as a path to immortality, to just constantly transfer her brain or mind to other vessels.
Yeah, and it's kind of creepy. Yeah, because she kisses her, it's kind of like, oh, I don't like this. But thankfully, her assistant kind of sees, you know, what she's been up to and kind of puts a stop to it by shooting her in the head. I'm like, okay,
some people would file some paperwork, maybe, you know.
Yeah,
get this,
other ways
maybe
to go about
before,
it.
Maybe get this before an ethics committee or something like that. No, I have to admire a guy. He goes straight to the point.
Plus, she was ignoring him.
Yeah, wouldn't you guys think he's undercover for somebody?
Yeah, I think he
like
is.
A salty dog or something.
Either that, or he just doesn't like paperwork.
Or he's just mad because Senpai didn't notice him, so whatever. He just got mad and shot him.
Yeah, tons of reasons for this thing, but I think J-Ro is going the right direction.
Right, because we saw him like later on. He's in a truck by himself, and he called, you know, talking to someone.
Yeah, and we haven't seen any salty dog action for quite some time.
Yeah, and the voice was kind of like recorded voice or robot voice, so it's like, yeah, someone's leading him up to this or pushing him to this. And Setsuna, you know, she escapes, which is good because, you know, Mocha and the Amarok kind of arrive, you know, moments later, and they don't even find the body. It's like, man, that guy works fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to see somebody like Setsuna who now knows, like, in what we saw with episode 10 was that Lieben kind of knew a little bit, but she was just okay with things, where now Setsuna knows, and now she's trying to run away from that. I mean, I don't think she would ever join Globe or something, even with a friendship with Akari and Hana, but it'll be interesting to see what ultimately happens with Setsuna if Mocha and Amarok catch her.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you almost feel like, what team would she really belong on? In my opinion, it'd probably be Daichi and Tepe's team due to the, you know, personality that she has. But we've all seen these characters come from, like, these regular personalities when they get kissed, and they kind of flip to the extreme, especially the first two. And with Setsuna, it might be a little different. I think she's going to be, you know, kind of like the Hana type, who's kind of, I guess, soft-spoken and doesn't really do a lot, but... Yeah, we're seeing. I mean, and this week has no mecha fight, which is kind of a surprise. I was expecting another fight of the week, but no, they skipped that, which was nice.
Yeah, just some live Lester action. Shooting trees.
Oh, yeah, shooting trees, basically. And that's pretty much the episode. I mean, anything else you got to say, Skyline or J-Bro?
I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was... Skyline on Twitter was telling me, oh, this episode is really good, and so... I watched it a little earlier than I usually do, and I came away really liking the story. I liked the flashback about the designer children, and I also think that Setsuna is an interesting character right now. I'm really liking her, and I'm interested in seeing how things end up with her. I would lean toward more of the tragic side of things for Setsuna, but overall, I thought this was a nice episode.
Yeah, you mentioned not having a mecha fight in there, and I think that's important for shows like this because it cannot be about that, you know, all the time. You know, they need some time to develop different ways of being able to tell their story. Just kind of like how they evolved it from, you know, taking place in space and then bringing, you know, the Earth Engine, you know, down to Earth and having it fight there. And doing this, we're going to get a little bit more, just a little bit more diversity in their storytelling.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't think you've seen any Gundams, but this is similar plot to do with that. Most stuff starts in space, and slowly works its way to Earth, and then Earth takes over, and you do all the, you know, political stuff and character building, and yeah, I like when mechas do that, where it's not so focused on the robots. I mean, Wrecker 7 original series does it really well, where it's not about the robot at all; it's more about the characters. And Captain Earth is doing that now, and I like that.
Yeah, but it's doing it better than Al.
Right, yeah, that's true. And you know, to wrap it up, we have extra stuff, which, you know, the swimsuit stuff was pretty interesting. We like that. I mean, it's nice seeing a fan service episode type almost in the mecha. It's
Yeah.
very rare.
Not a beach episode, but a pool scene.
Right, and I'm echoing Echo or Skyline saying that, yeah, we'll probably get a hot spring episode later on. I can see that
Oh,
easily.
hopefully so.
And the flashbacks were good, and like you were saying, it's building the story, at least to some of the characters that we don't really care much about, but we are curious still about, you know, where they come from. And another thing would be Mocha and Amrock as little kids. They look pretty cute, to be honest with you. Well, I mean, especially, I don't know about the kissing scene. It was kind of like, I don't know. Seems a little weird to me, but yeah, they're little kids. They can get away with it, I guess.
You know, and they are alien, of course, so
That's
hey.
true. They are aliens. That's how they
That's
communicate.
but yeah, it's exactly it's just how it's, you know, it's just like shaking hands, you know.
True. And last note to mention, Setsuna for me is just like a million times more interesting than Hana. I hate to say it, but Hana, you're still lacking a personality. Sorry, but you do.
Yeah, agreed.
And I wouldn't even
Yeah,
mind if Hana got switched out with her. Yeah.
it's you know, with Hana, it's kind of that point that she has to maintain a certain degree of innocence. She has to have some sort of, you know, naive quality to her, you know. But I just don't think it works for the show in general. I mean, you know, like you said, trade her out with Setsuna or put a paper cut out in place. It's that would pretty much do the job.
Yeah, I have my friend has also theory with her that, you know, if the planetary gears kiss her, what would happen? Would she, you know, is she really who she says she is? You know, did she really come to Earth to find Daichi, or is she, you know, a weapon that they sent to Earth to, you know, infiltrate it, get, you know, buddy buddy with someone, and then the last minute change sides?
Yeah, it wouldn't
Because
surprise me if it was the latter.
it wouldn't surprise me either. It's like she's so
I was going
innocent
that way too.
and quiet. It's like, if they kissed her and they revealed that maybe she was like a villain, I'll probably like her a little bit better. I mean, I think that'd be an interesting twist if they did something like that, because she's already deep in the globe, and she could easily be a double agent. If, you know, this could all be an
Yeah.
act of why she's so quiet. But yeah, that's been the episode. You guys, that's the last thing I got to say, I guess. Was fun. See you guys next week for episode 12. See ya.
Adios.
Adios.